Many years ago, back when I was in college, I was with a friend who had recently joined the United Methodist Church after having been raised in another denomination. And we ran into her youth pastor from her old church, and he asked what she'd been up to since she started college. And she said she'd recently joined a Methodist church. And I imagine this was news as tragic as if she had said, well, I've been experimenting with drugs and I've joined a cult. Or even like worse, I joined an a cappella singing group or something like that. Now, not knowing that I was one of those wretched heretics, he said, oh, you better be careful. They think that you can lose your salvation. And before I could stop myself, I said, what? No, we don't. And he said something like, oh, yes, they do. They don't believe in once saved, always saved. And so I quickly went through all of my mental understandings of theology, my deepest understandings of God. I mustered all of my courage, and so eloquently I said, so what? I don't remember how the rest of the debate went, but it did send me into this time of reflection on what I do believe about salvation. I had always assumed that I was saved, but when I thought about it, I struggled to relate when I heard others talk about their salvation. I had heard people share some their stories of a moment in life when they knew that they were saved. They could name a date and time. Stories about being at church camp and responding to an altar call, or making the decision to be baptized. Or maybe dramatic stories of recovery from addiction or being arrested or some other major turning point in their life. I didn't have any of that. I had grown up in the church. I was baptized as a baby. I'd gone through confirmation and I knew I had made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and become a member of the church, but I couldn't think of a time when I felt like I hadn't accepted Jesus and now I did. And as I reflected back on my life, I think I'd always felt like God loved me and I was seeking to love God back. So what was salvation all about? I know it sounds arrogant, but what did I need salvation from? And if I had at some point been saved, had I lost it? Like, did I misplace it? Do I need to just dig through my purse a little bit more? Because I know it's in here somewhere. Or worse, had God revoked it? I believe one of the great flaws of Christianity over the centuries, I dare say one of our great heresies, is that we have made salvation a question of either or. You are either saved or you're unsaved. Or as one of my seminary classmates put it, it's like being pregnant. You either is or you ain't. And because of that, we have made Christianity as a whole nothing more than a question of who is in and who is out, which allows us to hold the keys to eternity. As long as you say the right prayer or utter the magic words, you'll be saved and nothing else matters. You'll get into heaven. And I say it's a heresy because it oversimplifies a very profound faith. It ignores all the nuance and complexity of what following Jesus is all about. And mainly because I'm not sure Jesus ever said, this is what it's all about. Now, sure, there are those passages that use sorting metaphors. Like in Matthew 3, John the Baptist says that Jesus is going to come and separate the wheat from the chaff. And the chaff is worthless and thrown into the fire. Don't be chaff, be wheat. Or in Matthew 25, Jesus says that God will separate us like sheep and goats. He will put the sheep on his right side and all the goats on his left, and the sheep will be rewarded and the goats will be cursed. And we've taken that and said, don't be a goat. Those things eat everything. Be a sheep. Now, these metaphors seem very either or. But Jesus says that the sheep are those that welcome the stranger. You remember this Matthew 25 very famous text where the sheep welcome the stranger. They feed the hungry and the thirsty. They clothe the naked. They visit the sick and those who are in prison. The goats didn't, and thus they rejected their master. You see, the sheep did more than just say the right prayer, pass the right entrance exam, or stand on the right side of an issue. It's more than a question of either or. There's nuance. There's complexity. And I think I remember Jesus saying, sorry folks, the sun shines on both the righteous and the unrighteous. Both and. What I'm trying to get at is that if we are trying to get beyond our either-or mentality and the false dichotomies we get stuck in, when it comes to salvation, where is the room for both and? Could we be both saved and unsaved at the same time? To get clarity about whether Methodists can lose our salvation or not, let's go back to the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, to see what he has to say about it. Now listen to this statement from one of Wesley's sermons. In fact, it's printed in your bulletin underneath the sermon. He says, by salvation I mean not barely according to the vulgar notion, deliverance from hell or going to heaven, but a present deliverance from sin. A restoration of the soul to its primitive health, its original purity, a recovery of the divine nature, the renewal of our souls after the image of God, in righteousness and true holiness, in justice, mercy, and truth. Now that's pretty dense, so let me unpack it a bit. When he says salvation, he's not talking about the simple idea of getting into heaven and escaping hell. He says that's a vulgar idea. And by vulgar, he doesn't mean profane, but lacking sophistication, oversimplified. He says salvation is a present deliverance from sin. And for Wesley, sin isn't a list of naughty things you've done. It's the human condition that distorts the perfect image of God in which we were created. So, salvation is the journey of restoring that perfect image of God that lives in us. Or what he calls our soul's primitive health, its original purity. For Wesley, this journey of restoration or salvation is more than praying a specific prayer or saying some magic words, or certainly not only subscribing to a particular doctrine. In fact, it has little to do with anything we do and more about what God offers. For Wesley, salvation is about growing in God's grace. This is one of the things that makes us uniquely different as Methodists. Our understanding of grace as an experience that grows deeper and deeper throughout our journeys. John Wesley talked about grace in three distinctively different experiences. The first is what he called prevenient grace. And prevenience is just a $10 word for that which comes before. This is the love we receive from God before we are even aware of God. Because salvation is not a matter of cognitive ability or awareness. And so this is why we baptize infants, because baptism is God's claim on us. And God is loving us before our brains have the ability or opportunity to know it. Prevenient. And then we go further into that journey and we experience grace in a deeper way. And Wesley calls this justifying grace. This is the love we receive from God when we accept it. So prevenient grace is like when our partner says, "I love you," for the first time. And justifying grace is when we say, "I love you" back. And that love that happens as the relationship grows deeper and more meaningful. For some, justifying grace feels like a specific moment. I believe when those who talk about their salvation as a moment in time, a specific day or event, they are experiencing justifying grace. The turning point when they accepted the love God is offering. If you were to press me to pick a moment in my life, I'd probably say it was my confirmation in the sixth grade when I publicly professed Jesus Christ as my Lord for the first time. But in reality, it was more of a process that evolved over many years. Justifying grace. And the journey of salvation continues as we then experience what Wesley called sanctifying grace. And sometimes he called it restoring grace. This is that love that uncovers the perfect image of God in which we were created. It's a love that is like medicine that restores our souls to their primitive health, as Wesley said. The either-or way of salvation says we have to invite God into our hearts. But because of prevenient grace, God is already there. Sanctifying grace is really our journey into God's heart, going deeper and deeper. Or as the passage from Philippians says it, having the mind of Christ. This is our journey into the mind and heart of Christ. Now, let me say that these experiences of grace are not like levels that we ascend, as if some are better than others. Or as if God is loving us differently one day than the next. To God, it's just love. Rather than levels, they're more like ripples across the water that become wider and wider. And one thing that makes Methodists or Wesleyans unique is our belief that this journey of grace is leading us to perfection. I realize the word perfection is a loaded word. But it doesn't mean that we're going to a time or to a state in life when we will make no mistakes or we will do everything perfectly and we will have no flaws. Wesley talked about perfection as going on to perfection in love. Meaning God's love is so powerful and so overwhelming that it can completely and perfectly restore the image of God in which we were created. It is not by what we do, but by God's gift of grace. And this perfect image is the fullness of salvation. Meaning, salvation is the process of going on to perfection in God's love. Salvation is the process of going on to perfection in God's love. And because of this, we haven't reached that full perfection, and we're still on the journey. And you could say we haven't reached the fullness of salvation. We aren't fully saved. Perhaps salvation is not a question of either you are or you aren't, but standing somewhere between both saved and unsaved. And don't worry, it doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven. It means that even as God loves us as we are, the renewal of our souls after the image of God is still in process. So yes, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek when I say we are unsaved. Maybe what I should say is we are both saved and not fully saved. I'm simply trying to reclaim the nuance and complexity that comes with the fullness of what it means to be saved by God's grace, what it means to live faithfully as followers of Jesus. There's just so much more than the either or we're offered in this world. This past week, after we launched this Both And series, a member of our congregation said it reminded him of the concept of ambivalence that he learned in medical school. We often use the word ambivalence as synonymous with apathetic or not caring or sometimes uncertainty. Or if you're ambivalent, you don't have a strong opinion one way or another. But the original, truer definition of ambivalence is being able to hold two opposing ideas or opinions at the same time. So if you have both negative and positive thoughts about a person, you are ambivalent toward them. So for this doctor, he was taught to recognize ambivalence in his patients. They may know that a medicine will save their life, but they don't like the side effects that it causes. Or someone may have suicidal thoughts, but they want to live for their children. Well, these are not apathetic thoughts at all. They are two conflicting beliefs that can be held at the same time. So I guess the next time someone asks me if Methodists can lose our salvation, I'm going to say, no, we can't lose it. We're just ambivalent. Thanks be to God.